Amen. He knows God knows what He's doing. And He is like Colonel Goldstein. He don't make no narrow mistakes. Amen to God. That's right, isn't it? You all agree with that, don't you? Amen. I'm in, and I'm ready to roll. When He calls, I'm ready to depart. I regret in my soul that all my family's not saved. I've got brothers that's lost. I've got a sister that's lost. I've got relatives, aunts and uncles and cousins that's lost. Brother-in-laws that's lost. Sister-in-laws that's lost. But that does not change my desire to see Him. And I'm ready to pull out when He wants me to pull. Amen to God. All right, Song of Solomon again this morning in chapter number 5, please. And I'm sure most of you are already there. We'll begin reading as usual in verse 1. Just a few more verses now, and we'll close out this chapter. Until we do, we'll keep reading it all. It'll soak in on you. Repetition's good for you. And it'll soak in on you. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with the dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed up my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me, the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou doest charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need divine help this morning. I need, Lord, a divine touch that only God can give. And I entreat the Spirit of the living God in these next few moments to freshly anoint your preacher. As I stand in this sacred place that's been entrusted unto me and proclaim the riches, the unsearchable riches of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, O God, that You'd still every heart. And Lord, would You draw us today to the good mercies of God as we see in the cross, and help us, Lord, to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world, that sinners might be saved by the good grace of God, and Your people find refreshment and revival for their heart and soul. I pray for liberty, Lord, in the house of God this morning. I pray You touch my spirit and God with power and energize this body of clay Help my voice to speak clearly, my mind to think properly. And we'll thank you for every sinner you save, for everything that is accomplished, because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text is found this morning in verse number 13, where the Bible said, "His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh." And I want to take the first portion of that Scripture, if the Lord would help me in the morning hour, where it speaks about the Lord's cheeks being like a bed of lilies, even as sweet flowers. And I want to try to preach for a little while on the tender mercies of the Lord. I'm thankful this morning that our Lord is very tender-hearted. He is not as you and I, being in this body of clay, whose hearts are very adamant. They're very indifferent. Unlike His, they're, as I've said, about as hard as iron. But I'm thankful that the Lord is full of tender mercies. If God had not been merciful to you and I, there's no question about it, we'd yet be in our sin, and there's a good possibility that we could even be in hell today. But in John 5, our Lord came to a place called Bethesda, having five porches. The Bible said that there lay a great multitude of impotent folk there. Now the word Bethesda means a house of mercy. I'm glad that He's given us a house of mercy where His mercy can be bestowed upon poor, benighted sinners like you and I. That man that had been lame for 38 years and could not get to the water, but on that glorious day, the water came to where he was. Amen. Somebody said, "How'd it do that?" Well, it got out of the banks. Amen. That pool got out of the banks and came to where that sinner was. And I tell you, if there's ever an hour when we need to put the pool to get out of the banks, or the water to overflow the banks, it's today, my friend. I'm afraid there is a multitude of impotent folk that have never experienced the mercy of God. They're yet in their sins and know nothing about forgiveness, nothing about pardon, nothing about grace, nothing about heaven, and unfortunately they know nothing about hell, where they'll spend eternity unless they experience the mercy of Almighty God. I'm preaching today on the tender mercies of our Lord. I'm glad, thank God, He is very tender. As we come to this verse, number 13, in our text, we find the bride's fourth and her fifth description of the Lord's beauty. Now, I want to say that mortal man cannot describe the beauty of God. Who am I, or who are you, that we and our little finite being could possibly describe the beauties and the glories, the majesties of our Lord? I tell you, an unglorified mind and heart, my friend, just cannot do that. But I'm glad, thank God, that we've got a Bible that does tell us about our Lord and about His divine nature, about His glorious character, about His sinless life. Amen to God, that you and I, in our hearts, may really praise Him for His mercy toward you and I. Hadn't it been for His mercy, some of us still be on a bar stool. Some of us would still be a chasing skirts and smoking dope. Still a drinking liquor. Amen. But I'm thankful for that mercy that delivers us from between that rock and the hard spot that sin, my friend, has placed us in. Hallelujah. I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. We find the fourth and the fifth thing here that describes Him. And it said that His cheeks are said to be as a bed of sweet spices, even, or a bed of spices, even like sweet flowers. amen to God, and his lips are like lilies that are dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Now, I'm not going to get to those lips this morning. I want to spend some time on those cheeks. Hallelujah to God. You know, the Bible said that he turned his they plucked his hair from the cheeks of his face, and he turned his back to the smiters, my friend. Oh, I tell you, thank God for those cheeks that are like beds, and even like beds of wonderful flowers. Somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth do they represent?" Well, John Gill said that they may represent the tables of stone that was given to Moses. I don't know about that. I didn't really study it all out. I'll just throw that out at you. He also said that they might represent the Old and the New Testament with a reverence, a reference to God's law and God's grace. And I wouldn't say that the application cannot be applied, for it does take law and it does take the grace of God to get a sinner out of sin, my friend. And so the law of God is good. God gave us the law as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Therefore, the giving of the law was God being merciful to sinners, that under the law we might be condemned, but by the grace of God we might be set free in Him. Hallelujah to God. Nothing wrong with the law. These ignorant morons today, you know, that always saying, "Preacher, don't put me under the law. I don't want to be under the law." I'm going to tell you something. I tell them the same thing the Lord told the Sadducees about the resurrection. Not knowing the Scriptures, you do greatly err, my friend. Now, I'm going to tell you, a man that doesn't want to hear about the law of God will greatly err. I'd have not known sin, my friend, if the law had not said that it was a sin to covet things, or a sin to commit adultery, or a sin to dishonor my parents, or a sin, my friend, to be a hater of God. Amen. Thank God for that law of God. But the cheeks, being also a seat of modesty, bashfulness, and blushing, may be intended to mean the humility of Christ. No more humble of a man ever walked upon the earth than the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His humility. Ever occurred to you that He never performed one miracle for His own selfish needs? Every miracle He ever done was to help some poor benighted sinner, my friend, out of their sin. But I tell you, the greatest miracle He'd ever done was walked up on Calvary's hill and there tasted death for every man, laying His life down, and 3 days later lifts His wonderful name up from the grave. He arose with a mighty cry over His foes. And because He arose, you and I can have that resurrection life also. What's His name? Thanks be unto God. Now, also, Mr. Gill said that by His cheeks may not only represent His humility, but said possibly His humanity. Now, Brother Jerry's going to like this. He seemed to think that there's a possibility that those beds of sweet spices, or those beds of spices, might very well represent the hair that grew on His face as being a bed. And the word there means to be elevated or to be lifted somewhat. And he said it may refer to His humanity or to His manliness. I want to say to you, my friend, I'm not opposed to a man with a beard if he's got a right kind of a beard. But friend, hair on your face don't make you a man. No, sir. And muscles don't make you a man. Machoism don't make you a man. I'm going to tell you what makes you a man. Son, adding virtue, hallelujah to God, to your faith, add virtue, Peter said. And virtue is manliness, bless your heart. Amen. So I don't necessarily think, and I'm running these fast now, I don't necessarily think that it represents His humanity or His manliness. No, sir. She's describing her groom. She is describing the person who showed her love and affection and tenderness. I want to run this by you bunch of hard-headed men in here again and say one more time that women need your love and they need your affection, my friend. And if you harden your heart and refuse to show them a little kindness and a little bit of affection and be tender toward them, you might find yourself paying alimony someday. I want to say this. Divorce is wrong. Man ought never divorce. And it's never right in the eyes of God. I'm going to tell you, put it to you this way, men. That a rose every now and then, or a meal out, or a box of chocolate-covered cherry is a whole lot cheaper than paying alimony and child support. You can take that for what it's worth. Amen to God. Don't believe me? Ask some folks that are trying it and see how cheap they're getting off. Had a man tell me one time, said, I wouldn't pay child support. My wife run off and left me. I said, well, have fun down to Eddyville, son. They put people in jail for that today. By the way, it'd only be a sorry, reprobate devil that'd bring a child into the world and not have enough character about him to work and to provide and support that child. Amen to God. I charge you nothing for that now. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need some homes today that got love and affection in them, that sets Christ as the head of the family, at the head of the table. Amen to God. Make Him the preeminent one in the house. And then the man pattern himself after Christ and learn to show love and affection to His bride, even as Christ has shown love and affection to His, my friend. Hallelujah. I like it. I'm like, Brother Wilson, I see you back there rolling your biceps around or your bifocals or whatever. Y'all didn't hear about that, did you? Brother Wilson having a problem with a member of his church. Fellas back there and had his arm around his wife or his girlfriend or something. And the Brother Herbert said something about it, and the guy kind of flexed his muscle like that, his biceps. Brother Williamson said, I'm not afraid of you. He said, I'll see you flexing your bifocals. Amen. But now listen carefully. If you look up the word cheek in the Bible, in the Strong's, it means a place that is soft. It means a place that is tender. And the cheeks there being a place of tenderness and affection. I believe the meaning of this, that when she saw his cheeks there as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, I believe what she saw or what she's trying to describe is the sweet and tender mercies that God has toward His people. Oh, friend, like I said in the bulletin this morning, we're quick to preach against judgment and wrath, and God is a God of judgment and wrath, but I'm here to tell you, God's also a God of love and divine mercy. Hallelujah. And He delights in showing His mercy to fallen sinners and delivering them from the pit of sin and bringing them out of the fetters of bondage. Hallelujah. He desires Him bestowing mercy upon man. Better believe He does. Amen to God. He delights in it. He came into the world to save sinners. He laid His life down to save sinners. He was smitten for sinners. He was crucified for sinners. He arose for sinners. He ascended for sinners. And woo! He's coming back for sinners. I know that's right too, buddy. How you know that, preacher? Because I is one. Songwriter said, just a sinner saved by grace. Mercy. His cheeks, she said. What is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh, I'm glad you asked. He's tender. He's pitiful. He is full of mercy and grace. Oh, the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, He's very tender-hearted and merciful. Hallelujah to God. Yeah. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Amen. Friend, it's His very nature to be tender. have grow up as a tender plant. That word tender there means a little shoot, just one of them little sprigs that grows up from the old venerable stump that is about to perish in the ground. Now, I'm going to tell you what he came up out of. He came up out of the perishing law as a tender plant of grace. Hallelujah! And where the law was harsh and condemned, thank God as a tender plant, he delivers and shows mercy and grace and sets us free from our sins. Woo! If I can get enough air in my lungs, I'm a feeling good today. Psalm 145. And verse 9, the Bible said the Lord is good to all. Amen. Now put that in your corn cob pipe and smoke it, Charlie. The Lord is good to all. Amen. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. God's good to everybody. Amen. That's why when the rich young ruler said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one." Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, our Lord, and He's good, and He's not only good, but good to all. Bless your hearts. He's good enough to you girls to bring you to the house of God this morning. Good enough to you. And if He's good enough to bring you, you ought to be good enough to sit on your butts and listen. Amen. He was good to you when He died for you. And if He was good enough to die, we ought to be good enough to live for Him. Amen to God. If He was good enough to forgive us of our sin, we ought to be good enough to forgive others of their sin. Somebody said, how many times? 70 times 7. I'm going to tell you, I know some men, buddy, are pretty hard. Brother Billy, I'm talking about preachers. What did I do with my hand? They're so hard-hearted that they know nothing about forgiveness of sin. They know nothing about restoring fallen brethren. In fact, they know very little about the tender mercies of our God. But I'm glad His cheek is like a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, tender, full of affection, and full of love. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you His work? Has He worked in your life and created in you a new spirit? Are you a new creation? Then you're a work of God. And the Bible said His tender mercies are over all His works. That means God's mercy is over you this morning. Ooh. I got to hurry. You don't understand how far I've got to go. Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5, said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." How many of you forgot them today? "Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Amen. "Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Hallelujah! I've got a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies from Almighty God. I'm telling you, His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, and are full of tender compassion and love for you and I. He said, and finally in that verse, "Who satisfieth thy soul with good things." Now, I've about got to my message. I'll bring the application and we're going to the house. The Lord is tender toward His people. Amen. His people. Are you a people today? Are you His people? Amen. Been to Calvary? Been saved by the grace of God? Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, when is He good to them? When is God merciful to you and I?" I want to say He is merciful when we're guilty sinners. Amen. I didn't say a sinner. I said a guilty. A guilty sinner. A lot of folks understand they're a sinner, but they don't ever want to come to agree to the fact that they're guilty. You're guilty this morning. We're guilty. Let every mouth be stopped. Give the law that every mouth may be stopped, that all men might be found guilty in the eyes of God. That's right. Because you're guilty, you're condemned. And because you condemned, the reason you condemned this boy is because you have not believed on the only name of the begotten Son of God. Amen. And because you condemned, you sentence. And because you sentence, the sentence will be carried out. And the sentence will be carried out is solitary confinement for all eternity in hell. Somebody said, I've got a lot of friends down there. You won't never see them.
That's right. Amen.
It's total darkness, friend. That rich man that died and went to hell in Luke 16 doesn't say a thing about seeing anybody in hell, but he saw Lazarus in heaven.
Amen.
Darkness. The sentence is carried out. But God was so good to you, my friend, and so merciful to you, to deliver you from that horrible pit, to deliver you from that sin. I said that God is merciful to guilty sinners. Somebody said, preacher, can you prove that? Oh, I think I can. I got to thinking about that old thief on the cross. Amen. One of them went to hell, and the other one found mercy from God. Let me just read you the account a little bit. Said one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You know why that sinner found mercy? He found himself condemned of God, my friend, hanging on a cross, and nailed to a cross with no hope of ever being set free in this life, and realized that his insurrection and his murder was condemnation over his head. I'm telling you, our transgression and our offense to God is a condemnation hanging over the heads of sinners, for we're all condemned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
He saw himself condemned. But in verse number 41 of that same chapter, he said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.
Amen.
He said, hey, we justly. I'm condemned and I'm there justly because I'm guilty. But this man is not guilty.
Amen.
Of that which they have accused him of. But he said, I'm guilty. I'm glad to, hey, look here. And until a sinner sees himself guilty, they'll never experience the mercies of Almighty God and the tenderness of Christ in setting them free from their sin.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, I'm a sinner, Lord, but are you guilty? Are you guilty this morning before God? You are as sure as God made little green apples. That sinner repented. He said unto Jesus, that thief repented. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, what a repent. Oh, yes, sir. He prayed. He repented. He cried. He called on the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you what he found. Son, he found mercy when he was a pardon. For the Lord said in verse 48, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah to God. He said that old body of sin's going back to the grave. But the soul of man is going out to be with God. For I've redeemed the soul with my own precious blood. And today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
You know what he told me? He said the kingdom of God's within us. We're not waiting on the kingdom of God. It's already here, friend.
Amen.
Kingdom of heaven's what we're waiting on.
Amen.
Kingdom of heaven's an earthly reign. 1,000 years of it, to be exact.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, and it's a-coming. But I'm here to tell you the kingdom of God. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Put yourself on that cross. Nail yourself up there. Huh? Condemned, guilty, sinner. Justly condemned, justly sentenced, justly died. But pardoned by the sure mercies of God. My beloved, she said, his cheeks are like a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, sweet all mercy, so sweet. I think I'm about ready to fall off the mountain. Well, when I think of where I came from, oh, and how Jesus brought me out of a life of sin and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt. With all my heart, I want to praise Him for His love He gave to me. When the precious hand of Jesus reached way down and lifted me. Woo! Hallelujah to God, Brother Shelby. I'll never forget the day when His hand reached further down than I could reach up, and by God's amazing grace, He brought me out of the prison cell. Hallelujah to God. Bless Him. Bless Him. I thought about that old woman, that John chapter number 8, taken in adultery. That bunch said, "Hey, Lord," said, "what do you say about this woman?" Said, "Moses and the law," said, "stoner." Said, "she's taken in adultery." And not just taken in adultery, in the very act. And they ought to know, because them egg suckers was in the act with her. Amen. That is right, my friend. Said, "What do you say about this woman?" That's found in John 8. Said, "What do you say about this woman taken in adultery, in the very act?" Said, "Moses and his said commanded us that such should be stoned." But said, "What do you say?" And Jesus just stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then He stood back up, and He said, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." And He stooped back down and wrote again. And while He was down there, they began to depart from the eldest unto the last. The Bible said, being convicted in their own conscience. And He lifted Himself back up again and said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Does no man accuse thee? Condemn thee?" She said, "None, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Woo! What mercy! Son, I'm talking about a harlot. Nothing but a whore taken in the very act of sin, my friend. God pardoned her because of mercy and said, "Go and sin no more." Can I interject something right there and to prove to you something? That sex does not constitute a marriage. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I'm saying sex don't constitute a marriage. Vows do. I didn't say valves. Them's in the automobile engine. I said vows. Amen. Somebody said, "Can you prove that, preacher?" I think so. Amen. "What are you going to do about the woman at the well?" Jesus said, "Go get your husband." She said, "Lord, I don't have any." He said, "You told it right, lady." He said, "You've had five of them. Amen. Husbands. And the man you're living with now is not." Amen. You're going to tell me she had been married five times, shacking up with a man, wasn't going to bed with him? She hadn't made no vows, friend. Wasn't married to him. Somebody said, "What happened?" She found mercy. Yes, sir, son. She got a drink of the real water, left her water pot, and went into the city, cried, "Come, see a man told me all things that ever I did." Amen to God. I want to show you something about that little harlot in John chapter number 8. Those men brought her to Jesus and asked Him what He would do. The Bible said Jesus stooped down, then He lifted Himself up, then He stooped down the second time, then He lifted Himself up the second time. That is in verse number 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse number 10. That He stooped, and lifted. Amen. Now let me run this by you, friend. In His mercy, He stooped. When He was born in a manger, has ever occurred to you how low He had to stoop? Somebody, I've heard people say, "I wouldn't stoop to be that low." How low Jesus stooped? He stooped pretty low, my friend, to be born of a virgin in a manger. I'm talking about deity. I'm talking about very God stooping to be born of that which He created, the Creator, being birthed from that which He created. The Creator out of the created, and the created by the Creator. Amen. Buddy, roll that around in your mind a little bit. But He stooped
He stooped when he was born in that manger, friend. But I want to say, when he went to the cross, he lifted himself back up, that through him all men might be saved. Oh, but he had to stoop one more time when he let the hands of sinful men bear him to a borrowed tomb and lay him in a borrowed tomb. And he stooped again in death. He stooped at the cradle. He was raised at the cross, but he stooped again in death. But hallelujah to God. 3 days later, he lifted. The Bible said, lifted himself up again. Hallelujah. Wow, 3 days later, because of tender love and affection, he lifted himself out of a dark domain. Blake, at me and you might go to heaven, buddy. Now look here. Somebody said, why aren't you hammering sin? Well, time ain't right. We describing Jesus now. It may get to there before we're done. Because he was made to be sin for us. I don't know. I've not studied the rest of the chapter out. Hallelujah to God. I don't know. I'm going to have to run, boys. It's already about an 18 after. Hey, the Lord is tender toward his people as guilty sinners. But I want to say that the Lord is tender toward his people when guilty of sin.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin, what, church, shall find mercy. I got to thinking, and I won't spend too much time on this, but I got to thinking about old brother David. I'd have to say he was a man after God's own heart. The Bible said that. Loved God with all of his heart. But I'm going to tell you, he got tripped up.
Amen.
He got tripped up by the trinity of evil, sin, Satan, and society.
Amen.
Tripped up and fell into adultery and then tried to cover it.
Amen.
Tried to cover it. That's where we live most of our life, trying to cover it. Hide it from the eyes of God, and you can't cover your sin and hide it from the eyes of God. Well, we're open and naked with Him with whom we have to do. He sees you every minute, every second, every day, friend, and sees your heart and knows what the motives of your heart are. Every thought He knows afar off. Not going to escape it. He'll judge the secrets of men someday, friend. He knows what you're thinking right now. You boys and girls in here, He knows what you're thinking right now.
Amen.
He knows it when you go to the bathroom and grumble under your breath about your mommy and daddy. He knows it when you get outside away from your parents and grumble and gripe about your parents not being good to you and treating you right.
Amen.
That's right. He watches you when you wrinkle up your little pruny lip and He's sitting at your dinner table, in your living room. Don't mean to sound in an odd way, but He goes into the bedroom as well, Mom and Daddy.
Amen.
God sees and knows.
Amen.
Don't nobody leave me now. But in Psalm number 51, old David had committed a grievous sin. Committed adultery, tried to cover it up, and had a man killed in doing that. I'm telling you, that's grievous, is it not? But I'm going to say in Psalm number 51, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Amen.
Somebody said, did God do it? He doesn't say that he did in Psalm 51, but I'm going to tell you, I found a place where he does say he did it. You know, when Nathan came to him and told him the little story about the little ewe lamb, or somebody said the other day, a little ee-wee lamb. EW, they called an ee-wee lamb. Little ewe lamb. That's right, I'm not joking. They called an ee-wee lamb. Little ewe lamb. David said, oh, that man will pay fourfold. And Nathan the prophet said, David, thou art the man. Oh, and he said, and the sword's not going to depart from your house. He said, you're in a mess. But I'm going to tell you what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13 of that chapter. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord.
Amen.
Someday acknowledge that sin. I'm telling you that God is tender toward His people when they are guilty of sin in their life. He will forgive if we're faithful and just to confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what the rest of that verse says. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. There is four more little old words there. What is the wages of sin? What is it, Brother Jerome? Death. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? It bringeth forth death, is what James said. But I'm going to tell you what Nathan said to David. And thou shalt not die. Woo! Hallelujah to God. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Undoubtedly, God had mercy on the soul of David and delivered his soul from that sin. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Son, we got a long way to go. I got four more pages of notes. Huh? Not really, just one. I wanted to see, get your reaction. I saw some of you look terribly disgruntled. If you can get a hold of this, you'll find out how Christ treats you. I'm going to tell you something else. Treat others like you'd have others to treat you, friend. It works. It works. Some of you fellas, it says you're preachers, and you can't get a holy groan out of you, not even an amen when it's scriptural, it's biblical. Amen is saying that's true. That's true. And you can't even say what you're saying, preacher, is true. God's going to put you out there someday to a bunch of hush mouths, son. You're going to have to fight like hell to preach at all. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching a while. You have to fight the devil and everything else to get a holy grunt out of your lips when you're standing up here. I won't charge you nothing for that, man. That's free. I want to... Yes! Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Listen carefully now. I want to say thirdly that God's merciful toward His people when they are grieved in their heart. Heart feel heavy today for any reason? Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over sins departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. What are you grieving about? You do believe that, don't you? That God will help us when we're grieving. I think in John chapter number 11, you don't have to turn there unless you just want to. But Jesus got word that a man that He loved by the name of Lazarus had died. And Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, sent word to Jesus and said, Master, him whom Thou lovest is dead. Jesus waited 2 days and said, I'm going to wait 2 days that this death might be to the glory of God. And after 2 days, He departed and went there.
Amen.
And there comes old charging Mary. I mean, Martha. Right on out to meet Him. Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother had not died. But there sitting meditating Mary. Sitting in there just waiting on the Lord. Till Martha come back and said, the Master's here and He calleth thee. Look here, nobody went after Martha. But the whole crowd went after Mary when she left, friend. She had something Martha didn't have. Martha had never learned to serve in a humble manner. She had never learned submission and obedience and esteeming others more highly than herself. When that crowd of Jews left, when Mary arose and went out to see Jesus, they said, oh, she's going to the grave to weep with Him there. And they went out to say, and again she meets the Lord and tells the Lord, Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus told her virtually the same thing that He told her sister. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on Me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now don't nobody leave me now. There is two women, my friend, get this, that are grieving over a loved one that's departed from them.
Amen.
I want to say, my friend, there's a lot of things we can grieve over. Departed loved ones is one of them. And it's apt to hang there. And they don't have to die in their departure. I believe right now if my family left me, it'd bring great grief. I'd have to let them go. But I'm telling you, if Doug and Lisa ever moved back to Tennessee, it'd bring great grief to Brother Hall's heart. Not seeing them little ones and being around them. Oh, I'm telling you, our loved ones and our friends and our relatives, when they depart, is great grief to us. But I'm telling you, if they depart in death, it's much more grievous than ever to our hearts.
Amen.
The Bible said in verses 33 and 32-35 there, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. Saw who weeping, Brother Hall? Saw Martha weeping. And the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in his spirit. Can you hear him groaning over her grief and over her tears and over her sorrow? I'm telling you, God is merciful to our hearts when they're grieved and pained and they're too saddened for mirth to help them one bit, friend. You ever been there? I placed my face in my hands this morning and cried, "Oh God, if you don't help me today."
Amen.
Feeling of our infirmities. Amen. You better believe He can. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Jesus groaned in His spirit when He saw them weeping. And it said, and He was troubled. And He said, "Where have you laid Him?" And they said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." And that verse 35, shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus wept. When He saw them weeping, Jesus wept. I want to run it by you again. He's tender. When He saw them weeping over their loss, He wept. And He weeps over your losses, whatever they might be. He weeps over your lost joy. He weeps over your lost victory. He weeps over your arguments and your fussing and your fighting. He weeps, my friend, over your lack of faith. God weeps, my friend, over our cold, indifferent hearts. He can be touched.
Amen. With the feeling of our infirmities.
He weeps over our family that's full of sin and hell for
Jesus.
He weeps over your children. He weeps over the way you treat your children. Amen.
Amen.
Then said the Jews, "Behold, how He loved Him." I've got news for you. He wasn't weeping over Lazarus. You think He didn't know what He was going to do? Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's only one way to cure that grief and that pain. They were grieving over a lost loved one. And the only way to soothe that pain and that grief was to bring that loved one back. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Old Jesus walked out to that grave and cried, "Lazarus!" Some preacher said one time, if he had just said, "Come forth," everybody in the graves would have come out that time. That's, he would have, son. That's power in the Word of God. But He didn't cry, "Come forth!" He was specific, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead, the Bible said, "Come forth," bound in his grave clothes. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Weep no longer. Loose him and let him go."
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's what Jesus will do to your grief and your pain this morning. He'll cry, "Loose that and let her go, son." He is tender and full of mercy in your grief and your pain and your sorrow that you endure. Can I give you another illustration? What about a man by the name of Job? Oh my, you talking about a man grieved too deep for mirth or song to help him? Lost all of his finances. Lost his family. Lost his friends. His own wife. Even made derogatory statements, and I'm not so sure after, well, I hate to say this, but my wife said something the other day, kind of threw some light on that to me. Wouldn't pay you men to listen to your wives every now and then. My wife, she said, why did Job's wife say, "Go ahead and curse God and die"? I said, "Well, I guess she was carnal-minded." Miss Hall said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what I think." I said, "Well, why? What do you think?" She said, "I believe that his wife, Miss Job, saw Job sitting there and his finances gone, his family gone and in the grave. all of his wealth taken from him, his integrity gone. He's sitting there in sackcloth and ashes and broke out in boil. And Job's wife looks on him in mercy and pity and love and grace and said, Job, you're in such a bad shape and there's no hope for you. Won't you just curse God and go on and die? It'd be better for you to go be with God than to live like that the rest of your life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better hear what I'm telling you. There are some conditions we'd be better off dead in than to have to live in them. You can circle your little head up and down and say, amen or on me, don't make no difference to me. But I'm telling you, there's some things in life that's worse than death. If you're saved, a whole lot of things worse than death. But oh, my friend, you've read the final chapter of old Job. His friends finally deserted him. But the Bible said when Job prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job. And get this, here's the verse I want to get to in James 5:11. Behold, James said, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. I said the end of it. What you're suffering today is not the end of the Lord. No, sir. He ain't consummated this thing yet. You have heard of the patience of Job. And you have seen the end of the Lord, James said. And oh, I just about have a running fit right here. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. For when Job prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job. Gave him his sons and daughters all over again. Gave him twice the fortune that he had before. I'm telling you, my friend, that God is tender toward his people. His cheeks are like beds of spices, as sweet flowers. Might be mercy and grace. Woo! I just thought of that one. I'm going to close with this. The Lord is merciful to His people when they are growing in spirit. Now, I know some of you in here got the idea you ain't getting nowhere with God. You can't see an ounce of growth and you just feel like that it's all in vain. I mean, that you're just stagnant. Can't go nowhere else with God. Well, I want to remind you of two fellas in John 14. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and give and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Now get this fellow with growing pains. Here's a fellow that's trying to grow in God. At this point, he has probably been with Christ for his full 3.5 years. This is in, by the way, chapters 13 and on, I believe, in John deal with his last day and night of his life. These fellows have been with him for 3.5 years. They've sat at Jesus' feet. And would you believe that there's a fellow there that is so spiritually immature, by the name of Thomas? Jesus said, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Jesus said, you do know. And there's a fellow there by the name of Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Now, there was a fellow you would think that would be spiritually mature, sat for 3.5 years in the very presence of God Almighty. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights and come off the mountain glowing like a white robe. Here's a man that spent 3.5 years in front of deity and didn't even know what Christ was talking about when he said, the way I'm going. You know what he was saying? Hey, you know what I'm saying? He lacked some real spiritual knowledge. He didn't understand Christ's departure. He said, and whether I go, he said, the whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. He didn't understand about, somebody said, what about his departure? He didn't understand the cross. He departed by the way of an old rugged cross, and Thomas had no understanding at all about Calvary. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you think you've got Calvary in the palm of your hand and you understand it all, you better get down and repent because you're dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. There's a man that spent 3.5 years in the presence of Christ, and Jesus looked at him and said, Thomas, whither I go you know, and the way you know. He didn't understand his departure nor his destination. Didn't know where he was going to. Son, I'm going to tell you something. If you ask me, that's pretty spiritually immature. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus, He didn't say, "Now, come on, Thomas, you stupid moron, you ignoramus, you unfaithful idiot, you stupid boy. I've been with you all this time and you're about as ignorant as a box of rocks. What's your problem?" I'm going to say what He told him. He said, "Thomas, He said, let me enlighten you. I am the way, Thomas, the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, if you think that's bad, there's another fellow on down in the Scriptures by the name of Philip. And Jesus said to Philip, He said, "If you had known me," He said in verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and life." He said in verse 7, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him." He said, "You know Him and you see Him." And here's old ignorant Thomas. Philip. And he said, "Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. It'll satisfy me if you'll just show me the Father." Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you so long time you haven't known me?" You know what he was guilty of? Now here's Thomas, didn't understand the destination or the departure or the destination. But I'm going to say Philip's worse than that. Philip didn't even recognize deity.
Amen.
Nicodemus, my friend, hadn't sat at the feet of Jesus. And he said, "I know. I know you've come from God, for no man could do the miracles you do except God be with you." Here's old Philip trying to grow. Thomas trying to grow in grace, understanding, trying to, I can apply it. They trying to read their Bibles every day and trying to pray and staying faithful to church. And the services sometimes is cold and doesn't seem like God's there, and they're wondering what's going on. And doesn't seem like they've grown an ounce. They're right where they always were. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, hang on! In a day that you know not, son, the light will dawn in your soul like the rising of the sun. You'll understand quickly that all this time, and I can't go into detail on it for that next thing. He said, your lips are like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. God said, "I'm tender and I'm teaching you some things." So hang on. He ain't done with you yet. Don't grow discouraged. He's still a teaching. Still a training. Still talking to you about some spiritual matters that will help you grow in God into the fullness of the stature of Christ. What about this morning? Have you experienced Him mercies? Huh? Do you understand them somewhat, that God's merciful to you as a sinner? As a sinner. Now, He's not merciful to you living in your sin. He's not going to give you an excuse to live in your sin. I said as a sinner.
Amen.
He saves you, He'll bring you out of your sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
His cheeks. What is our beloved more than another beloved? Thou doest charge thyself. His cheeks are as bed of spices, as sweet flowers.
Amen.
Mercy and grace. And by the way, the word cheeks there means elevated. He's elevated His mercy and grace.
Yes.
Bless His wonderful name. Let's stand together this morning. I've tried to encourage you. Best way I know how. Benny, would you get my old top coat in there for me? I finally preached till I sweat. Didn't think I'd ever sweat again preaching. The question is, have you ever experienced His mercy as a guilty sinner? Have you experienced mercy for the grief and the pain that you carry every day? I don't mind telling you. Thank you, honey. I thought of some of you when I was getting ready for this. I thought about the pain that I know you have. See, and that's one of the difficulties of being a pastor, is to know where you're sorrowing, to know it. And I know where some of you sorrow. I know the grief. I know the pain. But if I constantly just put my hand on it,
If I'm not right careful, you'll accuse me of picking on you. And all the time, I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help get you over the hump. And I know the grief some of you saw. I know the grief some of you have, the pain that some of you have. And here, if He helped you as a guilty sinner, and He helped you through the guilt of sin in your life, then you know He'll help you in your grief. Some of you ladies have lost children. Some of you are trying to have children. I've seen the tears in some of your eyes. I've looked at the expressions on your face. Some of you got family problems, home problems, hubby problems, and wife problems. And I've seen the grief on your face. Won't you let God help you today? Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. He'll do it. He's that tender. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Him today. Heavenly Father, thank You for the morning hour that You've given. The privilege of preaching. I pray You'll take Thy word. Help Thy people, Lord. And glorify Yourself. Thank You for the sure mercies of God in our life. Thank You, Lord, for the fact that Your mercy endureth to all generations. That means us. I pray, O God, that You'll move in a wonderful way in our midst. Help Thy people to cast their care upon You because You care for them. Knowing that nothing, Lord, shall separate them from the love of God that's in Christ. I pray if there's a sinner here today that's never been born again, Father, that today might be the moment their heart breaks. They recognize the good love of Jesus. Come to Calvary and be born again. Thank You for the patience of Your people this morning and their listening ear. I pray You'll reward them for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's sing, Brother George. What is it?